to bring us back down to the world of the grounded world of Tanakh. We are in the middle of Perek Yud Aleph of Shoftim. What we have looked at so far is pretty much all introduction. The relationship to Yiftach, the dynamic of the relationship between Yiftach and his brothers, ultimately the exile of Yiftach, and then the necessity to bring Yiftach back and re-engage him, in this case, as not only just a member of the community, but in fact their leader, military leader, Shofet, Rosh, Katzin, all the different terms that we discussed. So we are going to start now from Pasuk Yud Bet, which is the beginning of the actual campaign between Yiftach and Amon. Remember that all of this started because Israel found themselves under attack by Amon. Who Amon is, where Amon is, the historical context of this parak we are going to explore in detail today. That's our mission. But first, I want to just read through the parak. We're not going to understand a lot, necessarily so, at the beginning. There's a lot of background information that we need from Chumash to understand the conversation and the dialogue that's taking place. But I want to read it through first, and then we'll see where we go from there.
How many weeks are we going to Pesach? As you were saying.
Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayishlach Yiftach Malachim El Melech Bnei Amon Lemor. Yiftach sends messengers to the king of Amon. So why is Yiftach sending messengers? Why is he sending a delegation? Why would you imagine Yiftach would send a delegation?
Because of halacha? Or not really?
Well, I'm not sure how much Yiftach knows of the halacha. But let's assume even if it was because of the halacha. What halacha are we talking about?
Aren't you supposed to try to avoid war or offer peace?
Absolutely. Yiftach, the last thing he wants is to have to engage Amon in battle. And so he sends a delegation of peace offering, some sort of negotiation, appeasement, dialogue. Call off your dogs of war. Let's end this thing peacefully. And the delegation begins with the following declaration. Ma li v'lach? What business do you have with me? What do you want? Kivata elai li lachem ba'artzi? Come to wage war against me in my land? That was the delegation, by the way. First of all, that was the negotiation salvo. That was the...
That's not very peaceful. I mean, he's coming here to try.
Now you have a good insight as to who Yiftach is. That's about as good as it gets. Ma li v'lach, kivata ilai li lachem parzi. Go away. Go away. And Melech Bnei Amon's answer is nothing really much more significant than no. Except that it's a little bit more politicized. V'yomer Melech Bnei Amon Malachei Yiftach, Ki lakach Yisrael et arzi. Your land? It's my land. Israel stole my land. Ba'aloto mimitzrayim. And they left Egypt. That's an old argument. It says Bnei Amon, Israel stole my land when they left Egypt. Me'arnon ve'ad ha'yabok ve'ad ha'yarden. All of the land between the Arnon, Yabok, and Yabok rivers up to the Jordan. It's all mine. V'ata hashiva eten b'shalom. Give me back my land, and you can have peace. Sounds incredibly familiar. Right. Okay, that's the negotiation. That was the offer. That was the counter. So Yiftach counters again. Vayosef od Yiftach, Vayishlach Malachim Melech ben Amon, sends a second delegation with an answer to Yiftach's comment. Vayomer lo, Koama Yiftach. Thus saith Yiftach. I like that introduction. Ko amar Yiftach. This isn't.
This is.
Ko amar Yiftach.
Quite an
Lo lakach Israel et eretz Moav et eretz bnei Amon. No, we did not take the land of Moab and Amon. Ki ba'alotam mitzrayim. We left Egypt. Vayelech Yisrael b'midbar ad Yam Suf. Now we're going to get a history lesson. Israel went down into the Midbar, into the area of Yam Suf. Vayavo Kadesha. They came to Kadesh. Vayishlach Yisrael malachim melech Edom lemor. We had sent delegations, messengers to the people of Edom, saying, Ebenabi Arzecha. We want to cross over into, through your land. Velo shema melech Edom melech Moav. The king of Edom. The king of Edom didn't listen to us, didn't allow us. Moav shalach. We sent messengers to Moab. V'lo'ava, he also didn't allow. Israel was sitting in Kadesh. They went down into the desert. They circumvented the entire land of Moab, Edom, and Moab. They came east of Eretz Moav, Vayachanun be'ever Arnon, and they encamped over at the Arnon River or Ma'avar. V'lo ba'u b'gvu Moav. They didn't come into the borders of Moav. Ki Arnon g'vu Moav. Arnon was the border of Moav at that time. Vayishlach Yisrael malachim el Sichon melech Emori melech Heshbon. Israel sent messengers to Sichon, king of Emori. And the king of Cheshbon, Vayomer lo Yisrael, Nabrana be'artzecha d'mokomi, let us go through your land to our place. V'lo emin Sichon et Yisrael avor b'gvulo. Sichon didn't let Israel go through its land either. V'yasof Sichon et kol amo v'yachnu b'yatza. Sichon gathered all his people, encamped at Yatza, ready to go to war. V'yilachem im Yisrael, and they waged war with Israel. V'yiten Hashem elokei Yisrael et Sichon v'et kol amo b'yad Yisrael v'yakum. Israel gave Sichon and his entire people into the hands of Israel. God gave Sichon into the hands of Israel. Israel was victorious, and they took the land that belonged to Sichon, the land of Emori, who dwelt in that land at that time. And they conquered the land between the Arnon and the Yabok, and until the Yard, from the Midbar to the Yarden, which belonged to Sichon. God conquered the Emori before Israel. And you're going to conquer it back? You can have the land that Kmosh your God has given you, and we'll take the land that Hashem our God has given us. Are you any better than Balak ben Zippor, king of Moab? Harov Rabbim Yisrael nimchom nimchambam, who strove with Israel, going to fight us? B'shevet Yisrael b'cheshbonu v'ivnoteo v'haroru v'ivnoteo. All those years that Israel sat and dwelt in the cities of Cheshbon and Aror, uvechol arim asher yad Arnon, and all of the cities around the area of Arnon. Shlosh me'ot shana, we've been sitting here for 300 years. Madu lo itzaltem ba'etahi? Why didn't you come fight for this land then? V'anochi lo chatati lach, I've done nothing to you. V'tal say tira ali lachem bi, and you come to wage war against me? Ishpot Hashem Shofet Ayom ben Bnei Yisrael uven Bnei Amon. Let God be the judge. Speech 2. And lo and behold, to this very compelling and convincing speech, V'lo Shema Melech Bnei Amon, king of Amon, wasn't ready to listen. El Divrei Yiftach Asher Shalach Elav. And the rest of the story is history, as they say. And the battle begins. So our job for this week and next week is to try to make heads or tails out of Yiftach's response and dialogue, the claim that Amon has and the counter that Yiftach makes to him. It's a remarkable dialogue. It's a remarkable dialogue on many levels. One of the longest conversations we have in certainly political conversations in this period of time between Israel and its neighbors. And more importantly for our purposes, it's a review of whole sections of Chumash.
Why do you call it a dialogue instead of a monologue?
Well, they're talking back and forth via Shaliach. Each one is, you know, I think you missed the beginning of it, right? Yiftach sends messengers, Melech Ben Amon sends messengers back, and then you see Yiftach's second delegation. So, in a certain sense, it's a dialogue because it's happening over two stages. But, yeah, Yiftach certainly has the larger portion of the dialogue, or of the... Besides the fact that I'm essentially in a monologue, one person is speaking, but there isn't necessarily somebody listening. A dialogue, one person can be speaking, the other person is listening, it's still a dialogue. Right? We're talking to each other, even if I'm talking and you're listening, we're still having a dialogue, because it's still between two people. Sort of. Okay. What's going on? So the history here is very relevant. This is all about history. What happened 300 years ago? Bnei Amon's claim, Yiftach's answer, all of this is revolving around what happened 300 years ago. He talks about the messengers they sent to Edom, messengers they sent to Moab. He talks about the land between Arnon and Yabok. He talks about the conquest of the territory of Sichon. All of this are sections that appear in Chumash. So to really get a handle on what this conversation is about and what the accusation is and the counter that Yiftach offers, we really have to go back to Chumash. So what I want to do this morning, for the most part, is review the story itself as it appears in the unfolds in the events in the time of Moshe. And then, once we have that, this dialogue will become much simpler to understand and much clearer.
You may. How is he aware of what, in such detail, of what happened 300 years ago?
Who, Yiftach or Melech Ben Amon? I assume it's part of the tradition of their people. I'm sure it's part of the history of their people. Torah is part of their lives.
Because it's such detail.
Absolutely. The history is very... It was the history of the conquest of Israel. This is it's like, to use the analogy today, although it's not 300 years later, but to use the analogy today, every school child in Israel grows up learning the history of Zionism and the stories of the War of Independence. But this was part of the account of the conquest of Israel, not to mention the fact that it's part of Torah. So, our story begins in Bamidbar Perek Chaf. There are three places we have to look in Chumash in order to understand this conversation. One is Bamidbar Perek Chaf, the second is Bamidbar Perek Chaf Aleph, and the third is Devarim Perek Bet. Now, Devarim Perek Bet is different than the other two in the sense that it's Moshe recording, repeating or reviewing the events in hindsight. But there's information in each that we don't have in the other two places. So we have to put it all together in order to get a full picture. Beginning of Perek Chaf is the death of Miriam and the story of the hitting of the rock. So we're going to leave the story of the hitting of the rock for another time. We're going to start in Pasuk Yud Dalet. וישלח משה מלאכים מקדש אל מלך אדום. Moshe sent messengers from Kadesh to Melech Edom. So first of all, where are we? Where is Kadesh and where is Edom? So let's just take a look for a moment on this map, which is our... should look familiar to you at this point. If we're coming in from the south, Israel, Egypt is down here. This is the Sinai. Kadesh Barnea is the location of the city from which Bnei Yisrael send the spies, the story in Parshat Shlach, the story of Chet HaMeraglim. When that fails, they turn an about face and they start wandering through the desert for 40 years. Come to Kadesh and they send messengers to Edom. So there's a huge discussion as to when they send these messengers, because they started in Kadesh at the story of the Meraglim. They're back in Kadesh when they send messengers to Edom, and then they're going to circumvent Eretz Edom. And it's so we'll come back. The chronology here is an issue. We'll come back to it, but just bear in mind that that's where they are. They're down here in Eretz in the Kadesh, south of Eretz of Israel, and Har Seir, or Eretz of Eretz Edom, is here in the Negev. Vayishlach Moshe malachim mikadesh ha-melech Edom, ko amar achicha Yisrael. Edom is a descendant of
Esav.
Says Moshe, we are your brothers. Yaakov is Esav's brother. Ko amar achicha Yisrael. You know everything that has transpired to and happened to us. We went down to Egypt. We dwelt in Egypt for many years. The Egyptians embittered our lives. It's repeated the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Pesach, around the corner. Cried out to God. He heard our voice. Who is the Malach that Hashem sent to take us out of Egypt?
No, I thought he took us out of Egypt.
Yeah, I thought he took us out of Egypt. He did take us out of Egypt. Who is the
Malach? Moshe.
Mm-hmm. There's many places in Tanakh where a Malach and a Navi are interchangeable. We even have an entire Navi, entire Sefer of Navi, where the name of the Navi is missing and he's just called Malachi. Sefer Malachi. The Malach and the Navi are interchangeable. He sent the Malach to take us out of Egypt is another way of saying a reference to Moshe, except that Moshe is sending the delegation, so he doesn't say God sent me and took him out of Egypt. A little bit out of character for Moshe and Navi Kol Adam. So he says, V'yatzenu v'yishlach Malach. V'nei nachnu b'kadesh. We're sitting here in Kadesh, here in the south, Ir Ktzei Gvulecha, on the edge of the boundary of your land. We're headed north into the land of Israel. We're sitting here in Kadesh. Nabrana be'artzecha. Give us right of passage. Lo na'avor b'sadeu v'charem v'lo nishte. We won't veer off the road. We won't go into the fields. We won't go into the vineyards. We won't drink. V'lo nishte me be'er. We won't drink from your wells. We won't cost you a penny. We just want to walk through. Derech HaMelech Nelech. Highway. Lo nite yamin u'smol. Ad shenavor gvulecha. We won't turn right or left. We won't veer from the path. Fair offer? Sounds reasonable. V'yomer elav Edom. Lo tavor bi. No, says Edom. Ki pen b'cherev etzei likratecha, lest I come out to greet you by the sword. It won't be safe for you to come through our land, because I might be tempted to kill you.
That's one way to say it.
The mafia used that tactics for years. Vayomu elav bnei Yisrael b'mesila na'aleh. We will go, Israel tried again. They say, we'll go on the road. ואת מימך נשתה, ואם מימך נשתה, אני ומקנאי ונתתי מכרם. So Moshe begins to think, maybe money really does interest them. Maybe they want to earn some money on the side. He says, okay, well, we'll drink your water, we'll pay for it. Before he said he wouldn't drink your water, but then they don't get anything from it. They don't lose anything, but they don't gain anything. He says, we'll buy your food. We'll be tourists in your land. We'll give you economics to boost. Rak ein davar b'raglai evora. Just let us pass. Vayomer lo ta'avor. Edom again said no. Only this time they reinforced their position. Vayetze Edom likrato ba'am kaved uvayad chazaka. There's a welcome delegation that came to the bound to the border. Biyad chazaka, play on words, obviously. All drawn swords. Vayimaen Edom netonet Yisrael avor bigvulo. They wouldn't let them go through, which means that the only option that Israel would have had would be to, if they wanted to go through that land, would be to fight. And for some reason, unclear here because it's not stated, vayet Yisrael me'alav. Israel turned and went away. They did not fight. They come to Hor HaHar, and there Aaron dies. Not our issue. Skip that next two paragraphs. There's a little skirmish in Arad, which we're also going to skip. Pasuk Dalet in Perikhov Aleph. Vayisu mehor HaHar derech Yam Suf lisbovet Eretz Edom. They went around Yam Suf in order to... Here's the Yam Suf. All the way down to Etz Yon Gaver, which is a lot, and around to the east. Fatikzar Nefesh Ha'am Badarach. They were thirsty, and there's a whole story about the Nachashim, which we're going to skip for now. And they come to Pasuk Yud Bet. Misham Nasau, there after that episode with the Nachashim, they traveled. Vayachanu b'Nachal Zered. And they come to Nachal Zered. Nachal Zered is on this map, you can see down here, the very tip of Yam HaMelech. Nachal Zered. It's a big valley that goes into, today it is known as Vadi al Hasa. It's on that map as well, on the small map, and on the Atlas Karta version of that map, you'll see it's listed here as Vadi al Hasa, which is its contemporary name. Vayachanu me'ever Arnon asher b'midbar, hayotzei mikvula emori. They encamped on the boundary of Eretz Nachal Arnon, or Eretz Arnon, for that was the boundary of Emori. Ki Arnon gvul Moav ben Moav uben ha-Emori. Arnon was the boundary between Moav and Emor. Now we have a problem in this text. What's the problem?
That you're in the country of Emor or the other country, but you're definitely in somebody's country.
Well, that's not... We'll get to that issue. They are in somebody's country. There's no question. There's a war that takes place. They conquer somebody's land. That's not the issue yet. But just in these two psukim, we have a major textual issue.
Isn't it geography?
Which is?
Well, I mean, if you... Arnon is north of Moab, and Zered is south of Moab, so how do they get from one to the other?
Correct.
Without going through Moab.
Correct. They come to, Pasuk Yudbet, they come to Nachal Zered, and there they travel to Nachal Arnon. Between Nachal Zered and Nachal Arnon is Eretz
Moab.
There's no reference here to Eretz Moab, except that they're encamped on the border between Emor and, or Emori and Moab. What happened? How did they get there? That's the mystery. And the resolution of that mystery is the fact that there's a piece of the story missing in the account in Parshat Chukat. It's just factual. It's just not here. But it is recorded in Chumash. So I'm going to take a hold for a moment just to do this in chronological sequence. We're going to keep our finger on the place, come back here, and jump to Devarim Perek Bet. Devarim Perek Bet. Starting with the beginning of the parak. Vaneifin v'nisah ha-midbar ha-derech yamsuf kasher diber Hashem elai v'nasov et har seir yamim rabim. We went in the midbar down to Yamsuf and circumvented the land of Seir for many years. For many years. What does that mean? We'll see in a second.
Where did you get many years from it?
Yamim Rabim, I'll show you in a minute.
Yeah.
Yamim Rabim either means many days or many... Well, technically it can mean either many days or many years. Vayi b'yamim ahem is in those years. Yamim in Tanakh can often mean years. It's clear here that it means years. I'll show you how why that is so momentarily. Vayomer Hashem elai, lemor. Rav lachem sovet ahar hazeh. You've sat here around the mountain for too long. It's time to head north. As you head north from Har Sinai into the land of Israel, you're going to pass through the land of your brethren, Bnei Esav. They'll be afraid of you. Al tit garubam. Don't start up with them. You will not get their land. Their land is off limits. Har Seir I gave to Esav. You're allowed to take food from them, buy it. You want to buy their water, isn't it hate? Forty years you've been wandering through this desert, not lacking anything. The land is benav, but you cannot take their food. So we circumvented the land of Seir via Eilat and Etzion Gaver, v'nefen v'navor derech Midbar Moav, and we got to the edge of the boundary of Midbar Moav. V'yomer Hashem Eilai al tatzar et Moav ve'al titgarbam milchama. Then God came and said, "No war with Moav either. Ki lo eten lacham me'arzo Yerusha. Their land is not yours. Ki livnei Lot natati et ar Yerusha." I've given them that land to Bnei Lot. Then we have a conversation in the middle about how Ammon and Moab conquered the land, and who was the original settlers of the land, and who lived there before Ammon and Moab. Before Moab, Rephaim yechashu afhem kanakim, v'amoavim yikru lehem emim. There was this people there called Rephaim. The Moabites called them emim. Ubeseir yeshvu chorim lefanim v'nei Esav yirashum. Then before Seir was sitting, Edom was sitting, or Esav was sitting in Har Seir, there was another group people there called the Chorim, and Esav destroyed them, Esav conquered them, and I gave them the land. In other words, neither Moab nor Esav are indigenous by birth to the land in which they are. They are both in that land because they conquered it from the previous inhabitants. That's the way it worked. One nation conquered it from another. Says God, that's what I wanted. I wanted Esav and Har Seir, and I wanted Moab in Eretz of Lot and Bnei Lot in the land of Moab.
Question: how do we understand, or maybe you can explain, inconsistency between what we have in Bamidbar and it's at which the king of Edom doesn't give any indication of being afraid, and here Hashem tells Moshe that the kingdom of that Edom is afraid of Bnei Israel.
I don't see that as a contradiction. just because he's afraid of him doesn't mean that he's not going to come out and say you can't go through my land. I think that's in fact exactly the reason. He says he's not going through my land because in his heart he says, I don't want, they're too strong, I don't want them anywhere near my people. I don't want them anywhere inside. If I can keep them outside, then I am safe. Once they're inside my land, they'll take over. So I don't see that as a contradiction. Just in Bamidbar, generally the Chumash doesn't tell us what people are thinking. The emotions, thoughts, are not necessarily part of the dialogue, yes, but not necessarily the emotional mindset. Ata kumu ve'ivru lechem et nachal zaret. Go cross nachal zaret v'na'avor et nachal zaret. V'hayamim asher alachnu mikadesh barnea ad asher avarnu et nachal zaret 38 shana. From Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over in Nachal Zaret, it's 38 years. We started in Kadesh Barnea, Bechet Meraklin, by High Seir. Now we're told we can't make war with them, so we have to go around. But all told, it's 38 years from the second year after Yitzhak Mitzrayim until we get to this, until the entire generation died out. Pasuk Yitzayin, Vayedaber Hashem Elai Lemor, Ata Over Hayom Et Gvul Moav Et Ar. You're coming to the boundary. You cross Nachal Zaret. Where do you get to? You get to the people of Moab. V'karavta mu b'nei Amon. You approach Moab, Amon. They're all interchangeable for our purposes. Going to get close to Amon and Moab. Al titgarbam. Al titzurim v'al titgarbam. There too you may not conquer. You may not start up with them. Kilo aten me'eretz Amon l'cha Yerusha. We had Moab before, now we have Amon. Edom, Moab, Amon. In one swoop. Relations, brothers, cousins, can't touch them. B'nei Lot, ki livnei Lot, natati Yerusha. Again, Eretz Rufaim techashev afir Rufaim yeshuva lefanim v'amonim yikru lehem zamzumim. Same sequence. Right? They conquered this land because I let them conquer it from the zamzumim who came before them. Pasuk Chav Dalet, Kumu, Su'u, V'ivru et Nachal Arnon. Go and cross over Nachal Arnon. Re'ein etate b'yatcha et Sichon Melech Heshbon He'emori ve'et Arzo Hachel Rash. V'itgar bo milchama. Cross Nachal Arnon and you enter into the land of Sichon. There, fair territory, because there, Nachal Eretz Sichon, I've given you to start up with, to conquer, to take. Pasachov, okay, the rest of it is the same account that we're going to have in Bamidbar, so we're going to go back to Bamidbar. What do I learn in Devarim that I didn't have in Bamidbar? What two pieces of information do I have in Devarim that I didn't see in Bamidbar?
It's promising them some land. Some will be theirs.
And we circumvented Moab. In other words, they cross Nachal Zaret and suddenly they're at Nachal Arnon. That's Eretz Moab. But we learn in Devarim that the same conversation that took place by Edom took place by Moab and took place by Ammon. Namely, come to Eretz Edom, God says, no. Turn around, go back. Come to Nachal Zaret, you get to Moab. God says, no. Turn around and come back. Come to Eretz Ammon, God says, no. So they cross through Nachal Arnon, which is the border between Moab and Sichon. This is essentially what's going on, is that Moab is here, Ammon is here. In order to get to the land of Israel, they've got Edom, Moab, Ammon. They're surrounded on three sides, on all sides, by an enemy they can't conquer. So how do you get B'nai Yisrael to
Eretz
Yisrael? The shortest distance from Kadesh Barnea is straight north, through Eretz Edom. Can't do that. Edom won't let them through, and God says you can't fight them. So they come, they have to go around the long way.
From Kadesh, where's Kadesh? Kadesh, they have to come down to Etzion Gaver in order to circumvent Eretz Edom, and they come straight up to Eretz, to Nachal Zared. Well, they come up this way to Nachal Zared, and they're ready to go into the land of Israel from the southeast. But Moab won't let them get in. So they come around Nachal Zared and around the land of Moab. And all of this takes time and years. And they end up at Nachal Arnon. Cross through Nachal Arnon and they end up here in Aroer, Cheshbon, Yatzah. Yachanu be Yatzah. Remember these names because we're going to get to them in the story. Aroer, Yatzah, Cheshbon. Now they're sitting on the border between Moab and Sichon. You with me? Mm-hmm. The big question is, how did Sichon get here? That's the real question. How did Sichon get here? How did Moab get here?
They conquered
the Zamzumim. How did Ammon get here? They conquered the Ephraim, Zamzumim. I don't know who conquered whom. How did Esav get here? They conquered the Chorim. This is the way of the world. The nations are conquering nations. Back to Bamidbar. We are leaving Dvarim. We'll come back to Dvarim. We'll come back to Dvarim. We're not leaving Dvarim too long for too long. Back to Bamidbar Chaf Aleph. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim El Sichon Melech HaEmori Lemor. Next delegation to Sichon. Ebra be'artzecha lo niteh b'sadeh v'cherem lo nishtemei be'er. Let us go through your land. We won't drink your water. We won't eat your fruit produce. B'derech HaMelech Nelech. We'll stay on the highway. Of course, that's all reference to the main road that runs through the entire region. Ad asher navor gvulecha. V'lo natan Sichon et Yisrael lavo b'gvulo. And Sichon said, no. Now, there's very little editorialization in Bamidbar. Bamidbar tells me the story, the facts. The editorialization takes place in Dvarim. You noticed that before by the fear of Eveda. So here, just, you don't have to flip the page, I'll just tell you, that same dialogue in Dvarim reads, Moshe sends a delegation, let us pass through your land. Actually, it's a little more explicit. He says, "Veshlach malachim mimidbar temot al Sichon melech Heshbon divrei shalom." I sent a delegation to Sichon, divrei shalom. And those words were, "Ebra be'artzecha bederech hamelech nelech lo asu yeminu smol." Let's go. We want to go through your land. Echob bekesef tashbireni ve'achalti yomayim bekesef titen levishatiti. We'll buy your food. We'll buy your water. Kasher asuli bnei Esav ayoshvim b'seir v'amoavim ayoshvim ba'ar. We have the same deal with Esav in Har Seir. We have the same deal with Moav in Ar. That we can pass through the land without, and we'll buy your food. Doesn't tell them that the deal was offered, but was never accepted until we pass through your land. V'lo avas Sichon melech Heshbon ha'avireinu bo. Sichon did not want to let us go through. Right? That's what it just said? That's what we just read? Sichon said no?
Right.
So in Dvarim, there's an added phrase. Ki hiksha Hashem Elokecha et rucho. Because God hardened his heart. Ve'imetz et levavo. And closed up his heart. Leman tito b'yadcha kayom hazeh. In order to, we should be able to come. So this, the editorialization is clearly
a function of a recognition that this is not an accident.
Minds us of Paro.
Excuse me? Minds of Paro, correct. Back to the story. Bamidbar Chav Bet. Chav Gimel. Oh, sorry, Perchav Allah Pasachav Gimel. Volona tan sichonet Yisola Vobig Volo, Vayasov sichonet Kolamo, Vayetse likrat Yisola Midbara, Vayavo Yatza. They come to the city of
Yatza. There you go. I told you. Right there on the edge of Nachal Arnon, the sort of extended portion of Nachal Arnon, there's a crossover, and that's where they are engaged. Vayilachem beYisrael. Vayakeo Yisrael lefichareth. They conquered the city. They conquered Sichon. Vayirash et Arzo. They settled or they conquered his land. Whose land? I'll make this very clear. Whose land?
Sichon.
Now we're going to give you the boundary and the borders of Eretz Sichon. This is very important. Me Arnon ad Yabok. From the Arnon River to the Yabok River. Ad Bnei Amon. Until the territorial region of Ammon. Ki az gvul b'nei Ammon. Border with Ammon was strong. Vayikach Yisrael et kol ha'arim ha'ele. Israel took the cities. Vayeshev Yisrael b'chol ha'arei ha'emori b'cheshbon. Israel settled in the cities of the Emori. Namely, Cheshbon. Chobonotan et Enverot. Because, and listen carefully, Cheshbon ir Sichon melech Emori. Because Cheshbon is an Amorite city. Is that not redundant? We just conquered Sichon, just conquered Emori. I need the pasuk to tell me that Cheshbon is an Amorite city? And the answer is yes. Because the second half of the phrase, Vehu nilcham b'melech Moav arishon. Vayikach et arzo miyado ad Arnon. Because Sichon had fought against Moab and had taken the land from Arnon to Yabok from Moab. Al ken yomua moshlim, therefore the poets who go around and write poetry about ancient wars, they wrote the poem that said, Ba'u cheshbon tibane v'tikonen ir Sichon. This is the poem that he's now quoting from the ancient poets who record the great battles. Come to Cheshbon, let it be built up, city of Sichon. Ki eish yatza mi cheshbon lehava mi kiryat Sichon. The fire that went out from Cheshbon from Sichon. Achla ar Moav ba'alei bamot Arnon. Consumed the cities of Moab, consumed the high places of Arnon. Oy lecha Moab, woe unto you, Moab. Avadata am Kamosh, you lost, you people of Kamosh. Kamosh is the deity of Moab. Natan banav plitim uvnatav bashvit, your children were refugees, the daughters were taken captive. Lemelech Emori Sichon, because of the conquest of the king of Emori Sichon. Now the cities, v'niram avad cheshbon ad divon v'nashim ad nofach asher ad medva. All of those Moabite cities conquered by Sichon.
That's where the synagogue is, isn't it?
In Medva. V'yeshev Yisrael be'eretz ha'emori. So what do we learn from this passage? Several very important pieces of information.
Sichon took territory from Moab, and that defeated Moab, and we were in the best territory that's available to Bnei Israel, and that's how they're going to enter Eretz Israel.
Correct. And if you remember back to the Psukim and Devarim, each one of these nations, Seir, Ammon, Moab themselves, had conquered their land from previous inhabitants. None of them are indigenous to the land. It's a period of migration of nations. And in fact, in Dvarim, it's even more explicit that this is a period of migration of nations, because it talks about the Plishtim coming from Kaftor and settling in the land of Aza. והערבים יושבים בחצרים עד עזה, כפתורים היוצאים מכפתור, ישמידום וישבו תחתם. This is a period of nations moving around. So Moab conquered the land and settled in the region here. Ammon conquered their land, settled in the region here. Esav settled, Edom conquered their land, settled in the region here. In the meantime, as Bnei Yisrael came through and they're ready to conquer and settle in their land, they're only given one restriction, however, and that is they can't touch Edom, Moab, and Ammon. However,
that's difficult.
Right, that's difficult. However, Sichon is fair game. He's a Canaanite. And the seven nations of Canaan are fair game. Ammon, Moab, and Edom? No. Canaan? Yes. Sichon is Canaanite. Now, had Sichon not previously conquered Eretz Moab between the Arnon and the Abok, which had originally belonged to Moab,
how did he get there?
Had Sichon not done so, we would have had a problem. That is true. We would have had a problem. We probably would have had to go all the way around up to the Golan Heights and come in from the north.
Wow.
We'll go through the
because
land.
That land is still
because that's
state.
Bashan. That's Og. That's yeah. Right, that was fair. As it was, this land had previously been taken by Sichon, which allowed us to go through Nachal Arnon and straight into Eretz Sichon. That is the significance of this map here, which is hand-drawn. It comes from an article that appears in Megadim, written by Rav Yaakov Meidan, in which he shows what their options would have been. So here you have a better marked territorial description of Eretz Sichon, and the arrows, the bottom, the left-hand arrow, which was Efsherut l'maslul mekutzar ilu natan melach Moab l'Israel la'avor. Had Moab allowed us to go through, we would not necessarily have had to circumvent all the way down to Eilat, because we could have cut across right at the base of Yam HaMelech and gone through Nachal Zared into Eretz Sichon that way, had we just been allowed to come through. Remember, we weren't conquering Moab, we just wanted passage. But they said no. So we ended up having to go all the way around and circumvent not only Edom in the south, but Moab as well, and come up Nachal Arnon into Eretz Sichon this way. Hence, Chazal have the expression, Ammon u'Moav tiharu b'Sichon. The land that originally was part of the territory of Ammon and Moab had become purified by Sichon. What do you mean purified? Became legitimate target. It became a legitimate territory for conquest on the basis of the fact that Ammon and Moab had lost it already previously to
Sichon.
So when we came along, we weren't taking the land that was settled by or that belonged to Ammon and Moab. We came and settled in the land that belonged to
Sichon
and Og, because this Arnon Tiabog is the territorial region of Sichon. The next story, which is not relevant to Yiftach, so we're going to skip it, but from there they go on to wage the battle against Og, Melech HaBashan. Bashan is the Golan Heights. See it there where it says the Bashan?
Mm-hmm.
So from here they head north into the Bashan to fight against Og. We talked about this once before, why they bother, because that's the territory of Manasseh. So between the Arnon and the Abok, that region which belonged to Sichon ends up being given to Reuben and Gad. Everything north of the Abok into the Golan Heights is the territory of Menashe, Gilad. That's the conversation we had once before about the Gilad. Is this clear?
Mm-hmm.
Now.
A lot of schlepping.
A lot of schlepping, yeah. All right. Well, that's why it took them 40 years.
Right, they spent
38
years there.
That's right. Aroer, Yatza, Cheshbon. The names of the cities that were originally Moabite, conquered by Sichon, and then conquered by Israel. Ammon is here, Moab is here, Bnei Yisrael is sitting in Eretz, Sichon. Those, or as they say, them's the facts.
till we get to the revisionism of in the time of Yiftach. In the time of Yiftach, we find a very interesting historical revisionism taking place. Now we go back, we're going to reread this parak that I read before in Yiftach. I'm going to reread it, and now suddenly, hopefully, the facts of the conversation will become clearer. Parak Yud Aleph, again, back to Pasuk Yud Bet. וישלח יפתח מלאכים המלך בני אמון לאמור, מה לי ולך גבעת אלי ללחם בארצי? Why are you coming to wage war against me in my land? יפתח, finish the phrase, יפתח, הגלעדי. גלעד. The southern part of the Gilad is here in Eretz Gad, just south of Nachal Yabok, which is inside this region, this box. Vayomer melech b'nei Amon el malachei Yiftach. The king of Ammon says, Ki lakach Yisrael et arzi ba'alotom Mitzrayim. What are you talking about? This is my land. Me'anon v'ada Yabok v'ada Yarden. My land, from the Arnon to the Yabok, to the Yarden. You got it? Understand what's going on?
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. making a claim for land he never had. They never had.
Well, they had it.
They had it.
Moab had it.
Oh, now you've raised problem number two. Problem number two, we're not going to get to today. We're going to get to next week. Problem number two is that we're talking to Melech ben Amon.
Right.
But what claim does Amon have to this land? This land belonged to?
Moab.
Moab. Okay, so we can be a little bit, they're cousins. They're brothers, actually. We're cousins. They're brothers. Okay. So he's talking on behalf of Moab, maybe. Let's leave that picture out of the issue for now. Assume for the moment, for some reason which I have not yet defined, Ammon and Moab could be interchangeable. But even so, this land, Me'anon to the Yabok, to the Arden, was Sichon. We never took it from Ammon or Moab. We took it from Sichon. Sichon is long dead. What do you have a claim to us for? V'ata shivetem b'shalom. Give us back our land in peace. Yosef ot yiftach v'yishlach malachim melech b'nei Amon. So he sends delegation number two. And he says to him, Koma yiftach. Thus saith yiftach. Before the delegation was one of?
Peace.
Ma'aliv alach, what do you want from me? Come on. Now it's Koma yiftach, because this was a claim that was that was false, it was accusatory, it was inflammatory, and it needed a response. So he responds, gives him a history lesson. Let me review with you what took place in Bamidbar, Perak Chof Aleph and Chof Bet, and in Devarim Perak Bet, says Yiftach. Lo lakach Yisrael et Eretz Moav ve'et Eretz b'nei Amon. You wanted Moav, there you got it. We didn't take anything that belonged to Ammon and Moab. Ki ba'alotam mi'mitzrayim v'yelech Yisrael b'midbar ad yam suf v'yevo kadesha. When we left Mitzrayim, we went to the midbar, we got to Kadesh. We're sitting in the bottom in the north, south of the country in Kadesh. V'yishlach Yisrael malachim ha'melech Edom le'mor. Ebrana b'artzecha. We sent messengers to Edom and we said, we want to go through your land. We saw that, right? Messengers to Edom. V'lo shema melech Edom. Melech Edom said no. V'gam melech Moav shalach. V'lo ava. We sent messengers to Moav. Also said no. V'yeshev Yisrael b'Kadesh. We're sitting in Kadesh and we don't know what to do. We can't go north to Eretz Edom. We can't go east to Eretz Moav. So we go south. V'yelech b'midbar. V'yasov et Eretz Edom. We had to circumvent the land of Edom. V'et Eretz Moav. We had to circumvent the land of Moav. We had to go all the way mi'mizrach shemesh le'eretz Moav. We had to go all the way from the east of Eretz Moav. Look how much we went out of our way to avoid conquest of Moav. We went all the way from Kadesh, all the way south of Eretz Moav. Ve'achanum be'evei Arnon, and we had to come to the land of Nachal Arnon. Ve'lo bo'u be'kvu Moav.
We didn't come anywhere near the borders of Moab. We never entered the land of Moab. Ki Arnon gavul Moab. Arnon was the border of Moab. You're telling me that north of Arnon belonged to Moab? Moab stopped at Arnon. Everything north of Arnon belonged to Sichon. Vayishlach Yisrael melechim el Sichon melech ha'emori melech cheshbon. We send messengers. We didn't send messengers. We didn't send messengers to the king of Moab when we engaged Cheshbon. We were sending messengers to the king of Amori when we engaged Cheshbon. And even there we wanted to go in peacefully. And Sichon wouldn't let us through. Not only wouldn't they let us through, but Sichon came out to attack us. Sichon took his army and met us at Yatza. Vayilachem im Yisrael, he fought us. He fought us, it's normally called a war of, he fought us. It's a war of self-defense. Right? The Geneva Convention says in a war of self-defense, you get to keep the land. It's only in a war of aggression that you're not allowed to keep the land, remember?
Except if you're Israel.
Right. But in a war of self-defense, Geneva Convention says the victor gets to keep the land. Well, clearly, Sichon came out to fight us. We didn't start up with them. We sent peace delegation. They came to fight us. They brought their army to us. It happened to be, Vayiten Hashem Elokei Yisrael et Sichon v'et kol amo v'yad Yisrael. God was victorious. Vayakum, we smote them. This had nothing to do with Moab. Vayirash Yisrael et kol eretz ha'emori yoshev ha'aretz ha'hi. We conquered Emori, the ones who inhabited that land. Nothing to do with Moab or Ammon. Vayishu et kol gvul ha'emori mi'arnon ve'ad ha'yabok ve'umin ha'midbar ve'ad ha'yarden. The land between the Arnon and the Yabok was the land of Emori, not Moab. You understand the conversation? He's responding directly to the accusation, to the revisionism, because we know the facts. Now he gets into a little more theology. Those are the facts. That's the story of the conquest. The rest of it is a little more theological. God of Israel gave us the land of Emori because he wanted us to have it. And you're going to take it back? Hello, every nation has its own deity. You have your deity. His name is Kmosh. We saw him in Bamidbar 2. You have Kmosh. We have Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So you can take the land that your God Kmosh gave you. And we will keep the land that Hashem Elokeinu gave us. Number one. Number two. I'll remind you of a little historical episode, says Yiftach. Go back to your history books. You may find an ancient king of Moab by the name of Balak. He also tried to start up with us. And it didn't do him very good. Do very well. Harov Rav im Yisrael im Nilchom Nilcham Bam. You're going to come to fight with Israel? Number two. Number three. Or number four. I don't know what argument we're up to now. B'shevet Yisrael b'cheshbon. Now the list of cities. B'cheshbon uvivnotea. Uva'aror uvivnotea. Uvechol e'arim asher al yad Arnon. We've been sitting in this region of Cheshbon, Yatza, Aroer, all of these Medva, all of these cities. We have been sitting here Shlosh Meot Shana for 300 years. Madolava Tzaltam Be'etahi for 300 years you didn't come calling? 300 years you never came claim this land back? Now suddenly it's yours? It was never yours. It was at one point yours, but it was yours because Sichon took it from you. You have a claim, go take it up with Sichon. Don't take it up with me. Take it up with Sichon. V'anochi lo chatati lach. I didn't do anything to you. Me? Yiftach? You have a claim, take it up with Sichon. Atah said, Itira Ali Lachem bi? You come to me? Shvot Hashem HaShofet Hayom B'nei Yisrael Uven B'nei Amon. Let God be the judge. Nu, is Amon convinced? Not convinced. V'lo Shema Melech B'nei Amon El Divrei Yiftach Asher Shalach Elav. B'nei Amon is uninterested, doesn't hear it, doesn't accept it. The history books in the land of Ammon read differently. They read that Israel stole their land. 300 years ago, Israel the aggressor stole their land.
Sound familiar?
We didn't steal it. We didn't take it. It was self-defense, and it was self-defense against Sichon. It wasn't even against you guys. You guys were not even there. You had lost it already years before, generations before. Come to us because what? Because you can? That's Yiftach's counter diplomatic message to B'nai Amon. I think it's one of the most powerful, compelling, dynamic conversations in certainly the Sefer. You can just see the history, the revisionism, the accusations, the counter arguments, and when it all fails, because there's no substance upon which Yiftach's claim can be made. B'nai Amon's claim can be made. When it all fails, the solution will be resolved by will be made by the sword, and that's where we're up to. So here's our task still ahead. It's about the Shem for next week. We're going to stop a few minutes early. Our task for next week is I want to go back to the question Alan raised, which is that this conversation is with the king of Ammon. And almost every point he makes is about Moab. That's very disturbing. So that we need to address. And then I want to take apart the various pieces of Yiftach's counter, just to structure it. What are the various pieces or arguments that he makes in defense of Israel? It's not just one argument. There's about four or five different arguments that he's putting forward here, theological, political, historical, military, that need to be sorted out, and then we'll be able to move forward with the battle itself. So B'ezrat Hashem, next week we'll deal with the second part of this conversation, and then we'll go on from there.